From the studios of News Talk 1480 WHBC, it's Kenny and JT.
That is the perfect music to play for our next guest here on the Kenny and JT Show. It's part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame residency program. Each and every Friday when a Hall of Fame player comes back to Canton, we will have them in studio. And today, happy to have with us a legendary Oakland. I'm sorry, I call them the Oakland Raiders because I grew up back in the day when they were Oakland. Right. A legendary Oakland Raider. Tim Brown joining us on the Kenny and JT Show. How are you, Tim?
Hey, I'm good, man. Good to be here with you guys.
Great to have you. And this program, we think it's fantastic. Yeah. The Hall of Fame, they do so many great things, but this is unique.
Yeah.
Last week we had Leroy Butler on from the Packers, the Lambeau Leap.
Yep.
And you are Hall of Famer number two joining us here on the show.
Yes.
Just your thoughts when they said, hey, we're doing this residency program, we'd like you to be a part of it. What was your reaction then?
Yeah, you actually had to sign up. And so you literally had over 60 guys to sign up for a 28-week program. You know, so everybody wanted to do this simply because this is an opportunity for us to really get to know the people at Canton and really, you know, make our names. And, you know, when you walk into a restaurant, you don't want people to go, who is that? You know, you want people to understand who you are and what you're all about. And this program really gives us the opportunity to sit down with people. I'm at the hotel by myself. You know what I mean? There's nobody there. You know, it's just a totally different feeling than when we're here for Enshrinement Week. So I think from that standpoint, you know, just having the opportunity to meet the people in the community in a different setting has been really great for me.
Tim, where is home now?
Dallas, Texas.
You live in that's where you're from,
born
Texas,
raised.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
See, and one of the things I wanted to ask you, too, is growing up, and we all know the history, Notre Dame, Heisman Trophy, everything else, but when you went to Notre Dame, I believe it was Jerry Faust your coach?
He was.
Okay,
yes.
So we played against Jerry Faust. He's a Cincinnati Moeller.
Yeah.
High school football coach, ends up at Notre Dame. Why did you go to Notre Dame, and didn't the Longhorns come a-calling? I mean, who else was in the running?
Yeah, I had 53 offers, but the only school that told my parents this was a academic award and not a athletic award was the University of Notre Dame.
Okay.
And if he came to Notre Dame and decided he didn't want to play football after 1 week of practice, he could do that and keep his scholarship. And I had a buddy who came with me from Dallas who did exactly that. Practiced 1 week and never practiced again, never did anything, and he graduated with us. So, and my family, look, I mean, be it naive or whatever, was like, hey, look, boy, there ain't no future in football for you. You go up there and get that education and get on back home and get you a job. And that's what it all came down to.
And you look back on the career that you
53.
Had, 53 offers, you said, you know, pick Notre Dame, right, get a great education, and win the Heisman Trophy as well. How did your parents react to that?
They thought
you were going for academics and you're the best in college football.
Yeah, you know, my dad probably, you know, he's not even here anymore, but he still probably can't believe it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because that's how shocked they were. But my mom absolutely knew nothing about football. So to have her sitting up in New York, you know, in the room, and her son winning the Heisman just blows her mind, you know. So, yeah, it was a different reaction for sure. But, you know, from what I hear, my dad never let me see this, but he had videos of me and all this stuff and would always brag to his friends about it, but, you know, never to me. So
what's that like when you get that invite? You're one of four or five guys. You're sitting there, and people are saying, oh, you're probably the favorite. You're going to win it, but you never know, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When they finally read that name, what's that experience like for those of us who will never, ever experience it?
Yeah, I can remember, you know, I get there and Jim Brown was like, hey, man, congratulations. You really deserve to be here. I was like, oh, he knows, so maybe I want it, you know? And then Jim Nance was like, well, congrats, you know, you should be here. You know, it's like, oh, no, maybe I did win it, you know? So it's, you know, I mean, you're literally, you know, bouncing your emotions off of whatever conversations you're having. But to hear your name, man, you realize at that moment that your name changed. That for the you'll never be introduced as Tim Brown anymore unless you're at church, but other than that, you're going to be introduced as Heisman Trophy winner Tim Brown for the rest of your life. And you know, that was a wild thing to get a hold of, but at the same time, you know, you knew that you had certainly made your mark on history. So,
man, you talk about a couple of iconic programs, though. Boy. Notre Dame, love them or hate them, they're still one of America's teams, as are the Oakland and L.A. Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Las Vegas,
when you're playing for a team, I don't want to get into Vegas yet. But, when we talk to NFL players and former players and athletes that are in the Hall of Fame or not, the one thing they always say is, our fans are the greatest. Every interview, our fan, we have the greatest fans. Mm. Well, you've had so many different fan groups, but even when we are still wearing the silver and black, what is the difference between an L.A. fan to a Raider fan? And talk about that black hole, man.
Yeah, the black hole is scary.
I would imagine the
scary thing about it is those guys act like that, but think about where they're sitting. They're sitting in really good seats. So these are doctors and lawyers,
and these are not
people who come off the street. Yeah. These are some serious people in the neighborhood, and they act like when it comes to that black hole, man. But look, the fan base in L.A. was a different fan base, right? Because we had fans who were very loyal, but at the same time, if it was 80 degrees on Sunday afternoon and we were a bad football team, maybe we'll go there. You know what I mean? But once we got to Oakland, man, that thing was unbelievable. The sellouts we had, it didn't matter if we were 4-11. It was the last game of the year. We had a full stadium. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and I don't think that has happened since we left, because now, before they left Oakland, they covered one top part of the stadium because they couldn't get the fan base up. But, the base has been through a lot. Mm-hmm. Oakland, L.A., back to Oakland, not Vegas, I know so many guys in Oakland said, Tim, I can't do it no more.
Right.
You know what I mean? They left California, so I can't. So it's going through a metamorphosis, unfortunately, but I think it'll come out on top. There's some great people, no doubt.
Tim, it's hard. I mean, being a Cleveland Brown fan, I born and raised here my entire life. When they left, part of me left with them. Sure. But when they came back, at least they got to keep their colors and their name. Mm-hmm. I mean, when the Raiders move, what is the message to a Raider fan? I mean, can you be a Raider fan if they're in Vegas?
You can, no doubt about it. And, what the Raider fans understand is this was not about the Raiders wanting to move. This was about Oakland saying, we're not going to support you. Mm-hmm. And when the government in Oakland says, hey, you can leave if you want to leave, or if you can stay if you want, but if you stay, you're going to stay in this dump of a stadium. And, we may do a little – look, man, I left there in 2003. I didn't go back to a Raider game or in the locker room area until 2015, I think, when I got – and the same
– unreal.
Sheet – not. I'm talking about a sheet that they had up to separate so you can't see the Oakland A's locker room that was had my picture on it. It was all shredded. Now I'm hanging like this. And it's like, what is this? This is a multi-billion dollar operation here. Right. But, that's what you had to deal with, man. And so I think the Raiders, I can remember being with Mark Bedane, the president of the Raiders, in Oakland. And I got there really early, and we were up in the suite. He was literally crying. Because he was having to do something that he didn't want to do. Right. They did not want to leave. But when the city is saying, take us or leave us, this is what you're going to get. You don't really have a choice. And I think the intelligent fans who know what really happened understand that. And I think they will always support the Raiders.
I've always wanted to ask this question on a guy that played in a multi-sport stadium. What is it like getting tackled in the infield? Ugh.
It is the worst ever. Because it's not dirt, it's gravel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? It's not dirt.
Gravel, right?
Yeah. So, dirt is fine. I grew up playing on dirt fields.
Right.
But this is gravel, man. And, the reason why I started wearing these little things on my elbows and all that, was because of that. Because I didn't want to, be all scarred up from falling in the gravel, And it probably cost me about 4 touchdowns, too. You know what I mean? Because, you make that move and you skid out.
You're down.
And you catch the ball and you had 2 steps on the guy. But now he caught you, because you can't spin out of the gravel properly. So what a horrible situation that was.
Unreal.
You know what? Your point about the Raiders and the city of Oakland saying take it or leave it, the A's you're finding that out as well.
It's crazy.
Right? Isn't that nuts?
It's really crazy. And the A's were fighting the Raiders on some things, and now they're getting the same backlash. Right. It's unfortunate, man. But, it is what it is. The city really believes that area can become the next what they call the valley, the valley, the in California.
The Tech Valley. The,
yeah, Tech yeah. Valley or whatever. Yeah. They think that area.
Silicon Valley. That's it.
That's what they think that area can become.
Wow. Interesting.
And they're willing to bet their price on it or whatever.
We'll see. Hall of Famer from the class of 2015, Tim Brown, joining us in studio. You can follow him on Twitter at 81TimBrown. I told you before we started the interview, and by the way, I did shake his hand when he came in. Okay, I met him in Pittsburgh. But for him, okay, help. Our listeners that are Raiders fans or Steelers fans, they understand that rivalry, right?
Sure.
For
yeah.
the ones that didn't grow up there rooting or playing in it, share with our listeners and my partner here how fierce that rivalry was and still is to this day.
You know, I mean, a lot of that happened before I got there for sure. So I was sort of, you know, taught into what this was all about, you know, especially when we played the Steelers. Early in my career, you know, where we still had some older guys on the team, you know, I never seen guys like practice the way they practice. And I'm like, hold up. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like on Miami week or USC week in college. And all of a sudden you see these guys slobbering at practice. It's like, what the heck is going on around here? But no, it was a big deal. It was a really big deal. It's still a big deal. Yeah. It's still a big deal because of, I mean, the Franco Harris thing will never be settled. You know what I mean?
He caught it, by the way. It was weird.
So, I mean, you just have all those type things happening, man. But no, it was an incredible rivalry and still is an incredible rivalry.
How lucky were you? We always talk about Ohio State and Michigan as being the greatest football rivalry in college. But Notre Dame, USC back in the day, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said two iconic programs, Notre Dame and the Raiders. Forget what city they're from.
Yeah.
What was it like to play in these rivalry games, mm-hmm. to be a part of history of the sport?
Yeah, I mean, they were bigger than a regular game. You know, you felt like a lot was riding on every time you played USC, even when we played Miami, mm-hmm. you know, teams like that. We felt like, man, this is a bigger – Notre Dame did so much recruiting in California that to go out there and win mm-hmm. or to beat them in South Bend, you know, meant a lot for recruiting. And that's a, you know, really unique thing about Notre Dame. There are not many places that's going to go recruit New Jersey and Southern California, you know, but Indy does. And so, you know, we always looked at, I was 4-0 versus USC, but Marcus Allen was 4-0 versus us.
Okay.
So, you know, we'd sort of talk about that all the time. But yeah, it was, you know, those games we always look forward to. And it's like there were always bigger, greater plays made mm-hmm. in those games because you could tell that there was more effort for some reason being given to them.
Well, when you're Notre Dame, every game's a rival, isn't it? I mean, whether it's Michigan, USC, it doesn't matter because when
Navy,
you're an independent, they all want you.
Yeah, Navy, Air Force. Yeah. We got beat by Air Force my freshman year.
What?
At Notre Dame, we got beat. Steve Berline got hurt and during the week and couldn't play. And our backup quarterback was like, hey, Navy, hey, Air Force, here's a ball for you. Here's one for you. And we ended up losing that game. So, but yeah, I mean, and that was a beautiful thing for us because it really made us prepare even harder when we were going up against, you know, a Navy or some of those type schools.
Tim Brown is our guest right now. Member of the class of 2015 Pro Football Hall of Fame. The residency program is going on for 28 weeks. You're the second player to come through our doors, and we really appreciate you coming here. Leroy Butler was here last mm-hmm. week. We want to take it back to the old school, even before Notre Dame. Let's talk about high school football, because we saw online that you spoke at Canton McKinley yesterday. I'm an alumni from Canton McKinley, and what's it mean to you to be able to stand in front of a bunch of young individuals that are trying to make their path? What's mm-hmm. the message?
Well, I think yesterday was a little different message because the coach wanted to, you know, sort of get on top of some issues that they were having, you know, during games or whatever, I guess, in the past year. But, you know, usually what I'm talking to kids about is, you know, this is the chance of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Especially nowadays, you know, you don't have to wait to get to college to get get to the pros to get a little money. You know, mm-hmm. now you can get a little money if you get to college, legally
mm-hmm.
get
right.
some money if you get to college. And, you know, you should do everything you possibly can do to make sure you get there in a very clean way. Watch what you're doing on social media, mm-hmm. because that's the very first thing that every college is going to check.
Okay.
How stupid are you on social media? Because
mm-hmm.
that tells a lot about you. And, you know, I mean, just try and go out and do the best you can do in your particular sport. But with what they have in front of them now in college, my goodness, man, you know, you should be doing everything you could possibly mm-hmm. do to make sure that, hey, I'm I'm this guy. How are you doing? Good to meet you. You know what I mean? I mean, because it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Even if you only get 4 years of it, you know what I mean? It can set you up for life.
Yeah, and there's so many fluid situations that are still happening with it, right? The transfer portal, NIL dollars, how many years you have to play, you know, in college football versus college basketball and things of that. What was it like when you were coming out of high school? Did you have to play at least 3 years before you could go to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of all stayed the same since then.
And, you know, quite frankly, Barry Sanders actually was, well, Chris Carter left early because he got in a little trouble, I think.
Right.
You know? And so he left after his junior year, and I think he was the first one to really do it, the big-time players anyway. And then Barry Sanders left after his third year. And, you know, if I would have left after my third year, I would not have won the Heisman Trophy. So, and I had a better junior year than I did my senior year.
Right.
So, so I'm glad that that wasn't a real thing at that time because, you know, I would have missed out on probably winning the Heisman Trophy.
Tim, what was the strength of your game? I mean, we know all the records and we know the kick returns and wide receiver, but I mean, what was the strength of your game? Was it speed? Was it route running?
Those two things, you know, I don't think people ever looked at me as being a speed guy.
Okay.
Because the Raiders always had a James Lofton, a Willie Gault, a Rocket Ismael, you know what I mean? So, you know, guys who were 4.1, 4.2, but I ran a 4.3 40.
You know what I mean? That's unheard of.
Right. You know, I ran a 4.3 40, so when I got the ball in open field, it was going to be hard for people. I don't remember, because of the infield. I caught a ball and I was spinning out trying to get going.
Right.
And by the time I got going, the other guy was coming off the regular grass and versus the Giants, and he got me. But other than that, I don't recall ever getting ran down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I think from that standpoint, I don't think people expect that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when I get in open, things just happen. But route running, speed, hands, real hands, not gloves, right?
No gloves back then. We didn't have them.
You know, I just taped my fingers up. But, you know, and I just think people always thought, well, he's not a big guy. You know, he's not a really fast guy, so we can handle him.
Yeah.
And, you know, people just kept getting surprised every time.
Football speed, right?
Well, everybody wants to talk about speed all the time. And last week I asked Leroy Butler about Deion Sanders' speed. But I want to ask you about Willie Gault, because when you mentioned Willie Gault, and wasn't he was a track guy. Was he in the Olympics as well?
He was, yeah.
Was were you as fast or close to him?
No. Well, no. Willie was a legit 4.2 40 guy.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And he was quick fast too, which means in three or four steps he can almost be full speed, and that's the difference
with
those real track guys. And you know, Rocket Ismael was that way, James Jett was that way. James was a fast guy, but he was more of a power because he was a 200 guy, but he was he still ran a 4.2 40. But those guys were different. They the way they ran. You know, we used to, like, in the off season, when we would do our 40, workouts or whatever, you know, the last two or three, we would go full speed.
Wow.
And, you know, a guy like myself who I know I can run, you know, I'm constantly finishing third or fourth place in these races because.
Unreal.
These guys.
At 4.3.
Unreal. It's just crazy. So, look, it's a different game, man, you know, when you have a little speed. But, you know, I can remember we were playing the Cleveland. We were playing the Browns in Oakland in my day. I mean, when I was rolling, and Terry Urbiski, you guys remember the coach?
Yep.
Had I forget the DB's name, but he was pretty good DB. And he had told him I had called him and told him I was going to, you know, just kill him. And man, and I knew it was a problem because we were warming up, and he came over to our side of the field.
Wow.
Tim Brown, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, he was, I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those days, right? So I remember telling Gruden, hey, man, look, I need to run at this guy the first couple of plays. So I need to figure out where he is, right? So we had one run at him, and sure enough, man, he was, I mean, just, you know. And then I had a run away, right? And he came and just knocked me down. And the official went to him like, look, bro, you don't get no more of those, right?
Wow.
One more, like, so. Then we came back with a little underneath route. I caught it, turned it up. He jumps on my back, and it's like doing something to my head out of bounds. And they throw a flag on him, you know what I mean? So the Browns pull him out the game for a couple of plays. He comes back in, you know, and, you know, for the most part. And after the game, I was like, young brother, what is wrong with you? Well, Biscay told me. I said, man, you don't listen to Terry Biscay. What's wrong with you, man? I ain't saying no. I ain't even talking to Terry Biscay. I don't have his phone number. What's wrong with you? So it was pretty funny, man.
That's funny. Awesome. Great stories from Tim Brown. He's in as part of the residency program. And if you run into him at the Hall of Fame.
Don't jump on his head.
Yeah. Right, don't jump on my back, please.
Nobody said anything bad to you about Tim Brown. But what do they have you doing this week? Give our listeners an idea of where you've been and where you will be.
I've been talking to schools, man. I got a chance to talk faith at Malone University, which was really huge for me. Spoke to the kids over in McKinley, went to a couple of schools, talked to his young kids. It's been, you know, we've been going into restaurants like, hey, how are you? Good to meet you. You know what I mean? So, you know, a lot of stuff that we don't get a chance to do when we're here for the enshrinement week. But this has really been a great week. Yeah, no doubt.
That's awesome. And we love having you in here with us telling stories like that. So you're a Heisman Trophy winner and you hear your name called. 1987 Heisman Trophy winner from Notre Dame, Tim Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you get a knock or a phone call for the Hall of Fame? What was the way you found out?
I got the knock.
All right.
So I got the knock.
Take us through that, and you're one of the few we can compare the two, because not a lot of guys can compare finding out you're a Heisman winner and finding out you're a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So I didn't know. I mean, I was basically told that, I mean, even though when I retired, I was number, I think, two in catches or two in yards, three in catches, three in touchdowns or whatever. Mm-hmm. Here it is, you're six for me trying to get in the Hall of Fame. And you got T.O. and Randy coming down the pipe and Harrison or somebody else coming down the pipe. So, you know, it was like, okay, it's going to be this year or it's going to be a while. So you don't know what's going to happen. And for some reason, they had told me that it was going to be a telephone call. You know, so I'm like, you know, not that I'm sitting by the telephone, but I'm sitting right by the telephone.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, so I'm sitting there, man, sitting on the bed, and I get up to go to the restroom, of all things, and there's a knock at the door. And I hear my son said, Dad, you know, you should probably come to the door. And I was like, Timmy, I'm using the bathroom, bro. He was like, no, you probably need to come to the door. And when I did, big man was standing.
Dave Baker
was standing at the door, and I saw he had cameras around him. So I'm like, he better not be telling me no with these cameras around, you know. So he started into his eloquent, you know, there are 40,000, but for the bus will last 40,000 years, and all that, man. And and literally at that moment, it hit me, and the tears came.
Waterworks,
right. Yeah, it was pretty weird. And, you know, I think the Heisman was different because I just didn't know what to expect. So it wasn't an emotional deal for me. You know, the bad thing about the Heisman is you got to get up right away and give a speech, right? And I was just like, thank you. You know what I mean? I mean, I think I thank my thank coach, my teammates, and my mom and dad. I said, thank you very much. And I was gone. You know, I mean, I think I was really in shock, you know, for that, you know, because it happened so fast and then everything starts to move so fast in your life. I got to tell you guys this, though, because I can guarantee you this has never happened to a football player before. And it definitely has never happened to a Heisman Trophy winner before.
All right.
My girlfriend was at the Heisman presentation when I won that night.
Mm-hmm.
She dumped me that night.
What?
She told me that she didn't sign up for all this football stuff. And it was her or football, and I needed to make a decision.
Come on.
And wow.
True story.
Wow, that's amazing.
Now, I'm not saying she didn't regret it.
Right, right. Yeah, but, you think?
But, and literally, she went home to Dallas, and I went back to South Bend. And, you know, I had a couple more days before I could go back home. And when I got home, I was like, you know, I really tried to, like, you know, I really wanted to marry this girl. I mean, I really did. And she was like, I'm out.
She took that trip to New York, though.
She took, yeah. Yeah, right. Where do you think you were going? You know? So, anyway, yeah. Oh, so, I think about that all the time because that was a real thing that happened.
We've never heard that before. No. So, that's a first.
I want to hear it again either. You know, it's amazing, too, because you talk about, you know, the experience of the Heisman Trophy and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What comes to my mind is, I don't know if you had seen any of the other presentations or whenever they've done it. They used to do it on the steps of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Then they moved it into the stadium. And I'm talking about the actual induction ceremony. How do you choose somebody as your presenter, and who was it?
You know, for me, it was really simple. You know, the only reason I became the football player that I was because of my big brother.
Okay.
You know, now, I used to call them torture sessions, but he called them coaching sessions. Okay. But he would take me out and teach me how to catch a ball and taught me how not to let a ball ever hit my chest and all that. So I became really good at 7, 8, 9 years old of catching a ball in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so by the time I got to junior high school, I was literally, you know, able to one-hand balls and that kind of
right.
stuff, even with very small hands. But, you know, he was a reason. I didn't tell you this about the Notre Dame thing, but he was one of these Subway alumni guys you hear about at Notre Dame, the guys who didn't go to Notre Dame but okay. knew everything about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He knew everything about the university. He told my mom where it was, and I had no clue.
It's haunted, by the way.
What's that?
It's haunted. It is haunted.
The stadium, allegedly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I think from that standpoint, man, you know, if not for his vision and directing my parents on what should happen, you know, I don't know if it would have ever gone down the way it did. So.
Wow. Great stuff.
Now, you say an ND stadium is haunted?
I don't know if it's a stadium. One of the dorms is haunted. Yeah, it's a long story.
I have not heard this.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested.
And was Rudy real?
We always have this real argument. Rudy ain't real.
Oh, man. The real Rudy.
There's the answer right there.
The real Rudy is, I think we should move on.
Okay.
See?
We're haunted and Rudy. Yep. There we go. We'll move on
to something else. What dorm is it?
I don't know. You know, you could find it. I think they did one of the Peyton's Places. And Peyton Manning and his brother Eli were there, and there's a place
now,
that's haunted.
Now, wait a second. If they're doing it, it makes me question whether or not it's haunted.
It was like one of the famous Notre Dame football players had to sleep outside because they couldn't sneak into the dorm. And apparently he caught pneumonia, and I think he passed away, and the dormitory's haunted now.
Whoa.
Okay.
I've never heard that story.
And I don't even like Notre Dame. Maybe tell that story.
You know, man, that's not – I was beat over the head with Notre Dame growing up in a Catholic household morning.
Yeah,
Lindsey Nelson,
right.
The replay,
yeah.
Notre
that's
Dame
where my brother
football.
Got from, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I went the opposite way. Your brother adopted it. I ran the other way, you know, from it. But, you know, you respect the history of
sure.
the program
sure.
And the Raiders, too, and love being a part of that rivalry. Before we let you go, just a message to the people listening to us here with Tim Brown, Hall of Famer, this residency program, not just you, but the other guys. Like you said, they had to sign up for this, right?
Yeah,
they wanted
up,
to
yeah.
come back. So just share with our listeners a message, knowing how important it is.
Well, you had 60 guys or more than 60 guys to sign up for a 28-week program. I mean, that's how interested
wow.
everybody was for this. And, you know, I just want to say thanks to the city. You know, I think you know, what I've seen a different side of the city, right? I've been able to meet people that I probably would have never met without this program. And it's been enlightening from that standpoint. And, you know, you hope to build relationships. I mean, it's not about business or whatever, but, you know, again, you know, when you walk into a building, you want people to say, hey, man, how are you? Not, you don't want people to be like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. I can't believe it. But, hey, yeah, that's what happens around here. Mm-hmm. We have Hall of Famers that come in here because
it's awesome.
That, you know, and that's the mm-hmm. reaction that you want. And I think, you know, by the time this program is over, even this year, you know, you guys may be like, okay, that's enough. You know,
not these two, not yeah, us
right.
two.
Right. So, yeah. you know, Joe DeLamelier is coming in next week, and
nice.
I'm sure that's going to be a lot of fun also hearing his stories. But, I just think the city has been great. And from a Hall of Famer, you know, relatively new guy going on 10 years, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's outstanding.
Well, we appreciate you making time for us. Enjoy the rest of your stay here in Canton. We'll see you when you come back in August, I'm guessing, for the upcoming class.
Absolutely.
And look forward to chatting with you again down the road, all right?
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
Unbelievable right there. Hall of Famer from the 2015 class, Tim Brown, joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show on WHBC.